Madama Butterfly is one of those works that people know and love, and they always come back to it time and time again, and that's why it really is part of the backbone of any opera company. And this particular production, which we premiered only about 5 years ago, is so special in the way it interprets the work that it sold out last time, and it's headed for a sellout again this time. So it proves that there's life in the old girl yet, there's no question of that. But the interpretation of this piece is so fascinating that it's not only great opera, but great theatre. And it shows that opera is theatre. It's not just singing. It's about staging and acting. And this is a remarkably strong cast. It's a story that I think many people know, and it's very straightforward. Pinkerton, who is in the Navy, has an affair with a Japanese girl whom he marries, but he never intends to stay with her. He makes that very clear at the beginning. He points out to the consul that he can break this relationship whenever he wants, and soon after marrying her, he in fact does go away. Years later, about 3 years later, his ship returns to Nagasaki, and it's then that he discovers that, in fact, Butterfly had a child to him while he was away. He had no contact with her in those 3 years. But now he returns with a wife in tow and decides to take the child from Butterfly. Butterfly knows that it's the best thing for the child, but of course she can't live with the shame and the loss of her son. So after insisting that Pinkerton himself come for the child, she then kills herself. So it's a very tragic story, very emotional, very moving, and there's a lesson in it because it's the kind of story that still goes on. Wherever the military goes, wherever people travel, there are relationships, there are love affairs, and there are children. And we've seen that in Vietnam, we've seen it in Korea, we've seen it in Germany in World War II, and we may even see it now in Iraq, who knows?
Then you were going to go to Upstage for...
When this production was created some years ago, it was a co-production between San Diego, Houston, Dallas, and Geneva. And it was conceived and directed originally by Francesca Zambello. But Francesca has gone on to direct many new productions all around the world, and she's not available frequently for revivals like this. So Garnet Bruce, who has been involved with the production from the beginning, is the director here. And Garnet's job is to preserve the basic choreography of the piece while digging into what the artist has to offer. And I think Garnet is developing into a very fine director in his own right.
I think the distances, we're better served by a little more distance.
Okay.
Working with the singing actor, you need to take into account musical honesty and integrity. And some things that you would ask of a stage actor, they just can't do. Also, the beat pattern is already established by the composer. You know, where you pause, where you move forward. There are a few places that have a fermata where stage action can, you know, ebb and flow a little bit. But those are few and far between. And so finding a group of actors, such as we have here in San Diego, who are willing to work within this very tight constraint of, you know, a time signature and a key signature, and establish their own identity, and then keeping that consistent all the way through. Those are the same sort of approaches. When I'm working with theater actors, it's always about helping them find the musicality of the line. And when I'm working with singers, it's generally about reminding them of the text that's underneath their melody.
No.
Che vuol da me?
Questo momento io sento Suzuki è lui.
Simplicity is one of the hardest things to create in the theater. It is completely honest, and it means that you have to be comfortable and confident to stand there, stark still, against a simple background. You know, you can't rely on walls. You can't rely on chairs. you're there facing the white hot emotion or the decision or the challenge of this character, and it's scary because unless you know exactly where you're going, it can be demanding and daunting, and you feel adrift without a leg to stand on. But the leg is there, the music is there, and the story is there as long as we trust in it. I'm very happy to be working with Maestro Müller because he is a leader and a teacher, which is the old word of maestro.
Puccini is always challenging. Puccini is a great composer. We conductors are so proud, so lucky to have a great composer to deliver to the audience. It is also difficult to conduct. You need to possess a good technique because there are many changes of tempo, of color, of mood. So you must really possess a good technique. But especially you must possess a lot of fantasy because you cannot just beat the tempo in no composer you can just beat the tempo, but especially in Puccini. Puccini demands you to participate, fully participate to what you are conducting.
And then we are immediately into it. So that's the reason because it happened. Is it clear now?
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Maybe it happens to me, but I think it happens to all conductors. The moment we are performing a piece of Puccini, we almost think that we wrote it, because we must be 100% involved in the emotion he felt. And through us, Puccini shows all the feelings that he felt, and it goes so easily to the soul of the public that is really a joy for us.
Good morning! Ready for another great production?
Yeah. Cheer up, my
friend. It's also very demanding, of course, but it's great to conduct an opera of Puccini.
And as always, for me, more important than the performance is this rehearsal. Okay?
Conductors who want to be absolutely faithful to the composer, they will do two different things. So in the moment I am conducting, I want to be sincere with myself. I want to be respectful to the score, of course, but I must do what I feel in that moment. And I have a lot of time in rehearsals to work with the singers and ask them to do what they feel and what I feel. And when in rehearsals we find a common place where we feel the piece in the same way, now we are ready to perform. But it is in rehearsals that we must discuss.
Non me la canta, ma noi lo facciamo ancora una volta e me lo solamente mi muove la bocca, me lo accenna per il tempo, facciamo, non per la voce. 39 please. 39. Quanto cielo, quanto
mar. sometimes I am even open to adjust, to change a little my ideas. There are many ways of doing great music. I cannot do the same thing with one singer or with another singer in the same romanza. I work with the material I have in my hands. That's probably the reason why singers understand that I am with them and I am for them. I try to get the best from them.
Vocally, Pinkerton is both as satisfying as it can be, as opera can be, and as challenging in many respects, because the way Puccini wrote it, he helped us along the entire way, and he gave you, the audience, this satisfying result. I mean, it's in these lines that the voice just soars on. Our challenge is to not get caught up in that and make sure we stay a little bit disciplined within ourselves, because it is so passionate, it's so wonderful and full, that if we just let ourselves go with abandon, there's a vocal danger there. And so we sort of walk that line of disciplined technique and just joyous vocal abandon. The production itself, I've never done before. How many productions of Butterfly I've done, I don't know. But this one I hadn't done. I've worked with Francesca Zambello before, whose production this is. And so I was looking forward to it. I'd heard about it. I'd seen sketches and pictures. And I know it was very successful the first time it was done. Moving the location from the house on the hill to the consul's office is, needless to say, a challenge. And I was interested to see how that was going to happen. I have to say I'm absolutely thrilled with the result. It's what she managed to do is use the elements of that do work, and somehow, which is, I mean, truly inspired, somehow not let the elements that don't work of that reality get in the way. And partly because everything starts to just, the pieces of set start to go away, it becomes this non-existent place. It can be anywhere, with these incredible effects of light and shadow and color and open stage. It's quite stunning, and I think that's really wonderful for an audience. I've done a few productions where that is the case, and it actually lets the focus come back. When you have this incredible scene on stage that's just eye candy for a while, it actually then lets you focus back right on the singers themselves, and nothing's in the way.
With so many wonderful Asian singers available, whenever you do Butterfly, it is worth going to the trouble to find the best Asian singers for those Asian roles in Butterfly. And we have exactly that. Chen Sue Panariello as Butterfly is, I think, the best Butterfly in the world today. Very authentic, beautifully sung, wonderfully acted, and she also has the sense of humor that is needed from time to time in this role.
Thank you. She is a very innocent young teenager, 15 years old, young teenager, and never had a chance to meet any man in her life. This is probably her first time to meet a man whom she loved. And so she put everything she has to a heart to this man. But that's probably the reason that by the end is a tragedy, and she killed herself for this man.
Every
time she performed this role, she feels it's very fresh. Every time she performed it, it's like the first time she performed.
第一，因为我是中国人嘛，她就是对这个日本人的这个感觉，我觉得还有好多地方还是很接近的。
Because I'm a Chinese, so I can relate it to most of the emotion and the feeling of a Japanese girl, and it's very close. Still, it's the same kind of Asian culture, so she can relate it to that very much.
这个歌剧呢，对我来讲也是我最喜欢的这个歌剧之一。
And this is one of her favorite opera.And she likes this opera very much.
Mika Shigematsu, singing the role of Suzuki, is a wonderful Japanese artist, first time with San Diego Opera, and she brings an authenticity to this role that I think is wonderful.
Suzuki is, for my understanding, Butterfly's confidant, and Butterfly hires Suzuki as a servant. So, in the first act, it's like just hired from Butterfly. So by Butterfly, so it's only servant, I think. But after 3 years.So Suzuki became a very good friend and sometimes mother, sometimes sister, and very close, very important person to Butterfly. This opera, Butterfly, Madama Butterfly, is very popular in Japan. We like this opera very much. So that's why many times we have this, you know, Madama Butterfly. And that story remains just after Second World War. Little bit similar story we had, unfortunately.
I think it actually makes it more important if we're not boozing it up.
Okay, for whiskey.
Just yet.
Okay.
So, this is the seventh time that we're reviving this production. And I worked with Francesca very closely in the beginning. And she said to me, whenever this goes somewhere, make sure it stays alive.
And that means that when we get to a scene, it's not about recreating you go here, but keeping the moments alive. This is about two boys who haven't seen each other for a long time. And, you know, if they kick back and have a drink, what are they going to talk about? What are they going to do? And every pair of Pinkerton and Sharpless have found their own way into the material, have found things that are completely unique. And that's what keeps it fresh for them and for us as an audience.
I think he's a gentle soul, and I think he cares deeply about people, and especially the culture that he's in and where he's been for a while, although in this production I haven't been there as long as I normally would be. I'm being played younger, almost the same age as Pinkerton. So that takes a little bit of some of the character that I'd previously played away, and it's a little bit of a change for this production, which is actually refreshing. So I don't know the culture quite as well, and I'm a little bit, it's in my office that these first two acts take place rather than in Chocho-san's house, and that changes a bit the dynamic of the first two acts, and I'm on stage more than I normally am, and I have lots of little bits to do that I normally don't have to do, and so this is actually a departure from the norm, really, in this production. But I've been enjoying it. It's going to be a good one. I think the challenge is the character in this show for the baritone. I mean, there are a few notes that are at the top of the staff, but not many, really, and it doesn't sit up there very long, and I don't have a lot of long lines to sing. I have a lot of short, choppy sort of interjections, and the ones that I do have are pretty meaty, but they're not... I hate to say anything's never challenging or difficult, because it's always difficult to do it well.
Che vecchi fareste, Madama Butterfly, se non dovesse ritornar più mai?
I think I understand him pretty well. I think that I have sort of similar qualities in my personality, that I can empathize with other people when they're going through whatever they're going through, and he listens, and I listen, and I do think there's definitely some things that are similar.
Right. And run fast, run fast. Yeah, very fast.
That's pretty good. Okay. All right, we'll practice that with Richard. All right, thank you.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, and you wait there until he says it's okay. All right? Now we're going to back up a little bit, and we're going to pretend to be asleep.
The child is very involved in this production. He has a lot of stage time, which is fitting for the character. I mean, we're in Butterfly's happiness. Her child is something that makes her happy. So we've given Drake certain moves to rely on, and you know, the default is always look at Chocho-san. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. You know, he's going to be a kid on stage. And that reads immediately to an audience. And it also makes the artist on stage have to deal with a child and understanding what is needed because of the storytelling.
We have to pretend like it's really early in the morning, all right? And she's going to make sure you go off and off stage, but we have to be very still when we do it, all right?
What?
Yeah, this is the sleeping scene.
What's your name in the play?
Trouble.
Trouble. What is in the room behind you?
Don't know. That's my dressing room.
Your dressing room. And what do we do in your dressing room?
I don't know.
Do we play?
Mm-hmm.
Do we sit on your blanket?
Yeah.
Yeah. And do you change your clothes in the dressing room?
Mm-hmm.
When you are on the stage and you see the boat coming, what do you do? That's right. You look through your telescope and you try to find the boat, right?
Right.
And do you remember who's on that boat?
What?
Your daddy?
Uh-huh.
Say, my daddy?
My daddy.
That's right. So, Drake, what's your favorite part in the sad play?
When I jump in the singing lady's arms.
When you jump in the singing lady's arms?
Yeah.
Can you jump in Butterfly's arms?
Yeah.
Is this the sad play?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can find ourselves in opera, and I think that's why the great operas continue to appeal, because we can find ourselves, we find truth, we find beauty, we find music, and we find escape. And we come out of those performances, particularly something like Butterfly, deeply moved and very aware of our own humanity.